Hebrews chapter 11. Got something on my heart this morning that I believe is strengthening, edifying, and instructive for us as we look at what Jesus wants for our next steps to be. But what I want to do is go over a few scriptures with you. I'd like you to turn to Hebrews 11 because we're going to have other scriptures we're going to do, but I'm going to park us at Hebrews 11, verse 1, for just a few moments. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Can you see that? Let's look at this out of several different translations. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Say it out loud with me, if you would, please. First, out of the New King James. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's good. We're used to that scripture, and it's a good scripture, right? It's an important one for us. Let's go to the NIV. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Out of the New American Standard Bible. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You see, that's a little stronger, isn't it? It's neat to be able to look out of the different versions of the different translations. A little bit, that word maybe grabs your heart just a little more. I'm convicted of these things. You know, you can always tell that a man with a feeble argument is always at a loss to a man with a conviction, or a woman. If you're convicted of these things in Scripture, people may be able to defeat you in a debate, but they can never take your Jesus away when you're convicted of Him living in your heart and being there by faith. Amen? Amen. The New American Standard Version. The New Living Translation. What is faith? Read it with me if you would. It is the confident assurance that we hope, or for what we hope, rather, is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. The Message Version, this is fantastic, look at this. A little wordy, but you know, that's okay. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Isn't that good? God's Word. Faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. I have just a few more for you. Is it helpful to look at it out of the different versions? Pretty neat. The Authorized Standard Version. The American Standard Version. Now, faith is assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. Again, we're seeing a lot of similarities that give us perspective. And faith is of things hoped for, a confidence, of matters not seen, a conviction. And this one I did simply for fun, and I am so glad she's here this morning. When Maria walked in, I said, I've got something for you. So, Maria, would you lead us in this one? Can you see it? Everybody raise it up. Here we go. Can you see it better? Dean, you should have stood up and helped her. Could you do that one? Okay, let's all try this one. And Maria, don't laugh at us too loud. We're just thrilled you're here. Ahora bien, la fe es la certeza de lo que se espera, la convicción de lo que no se ve. Woo! Fantastic. The evidence of things not seen. How many realize there's lots of life left to live? You know that, don't you? You know, there's an old song, there's an old Christian song, actually, that says, there's a brother, a wonderful brother, Glenn Yontz, who went on to be with the Lord, and he sang a great song that I just loved, and he talked in that song about, you know, my days behind me are more than the days ahead of me. But actually, though that's very touching, and I love him, that's not correct according to Bible truth. Bible truth says, You have eternal life in Christ. So how many of you understand your days behind you are much fewer than the days you have ahead? I said the days behind you are fewer than the days you have ahead. Memories are good, right? Memories are nice things. I'm glad when you remember me every Sunday. I was gone one Sunday. I'm glad I didn't come and go, who are you? Give them a guest card. Okay. Memories are good. Destinies are even better. I said, memories are good. Destinies are even better. You each have destiny in Jesus. Destiny in Jesus. And what we want to look at is one of the brothers who's really, frankly, a father of our faith. That's what we call him. Who knows who I'm talking about when I say that? Abraham. Abraham. That's how you pronounce it, but Abraham. Now, the Greek word faith in that translation that we've been reading or in those verses is the Greek word pistis. And that word means persuasion, credence, moral conviction of the truthfulness of God. And you rely, bedrock reliance upon Christ for salvation. There is a constancy in His truth, and you can rely on it. Are you glad that God doesn't change His perspective day by day? Why do we say around here how many want to walk in what the Bible teaches and keep changing? Because His Word is true, and His Word is constant, and He's never changing. That's a good thing. Let me ask you a question. And we're going to talk about Abraham this morning, but let me ask you a question. When do you need faith? Okay. But just someday?
No.
No, we need faith for someday, that when we die, we're going to go be with Jesus, right? When we've been washed clean, we've surrendered our life to Jesus, we've asked Him to come into our heart, be our Lord and Savior, we are saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's all say John 3:16-17 together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God's interested in you being saved. Are you saved this morning? If you're not saved, give your life to Jesus. Let this be the day that you get saved. And salvation is something then that works out in our life. We don't do good works to get saved. We do good works as confirmation that we are saved by grace in His name. And He is a good God. But when do you need faith? Church, when do you need faith? All the time, but how about now? Say it with me. Now. When do you need faith? Now. Now. The situations that arise in your life, the difficulties that occur, the things that are to overcome in your life, present issues. And it's not just off in heaven someday that I need faith. I need faith that guides me step by step and takes me through the situation now. Now. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Now.
I heard you. Thank you. And that's the title of this message. Now, faith. When we saw most of those scriptures, it says, now, faith is the. You remember? Now, faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When is it?
Now.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Now. Let's talk about hearing the voice of God for a minute. Hearing the voice of God. Now, I want you to repeat after me three initials, or three letters. L, S, R. L, S, R. One more time. L, S, R. Do it backwards. Good. Yeah, very good. All right. Turn to each other at the table. Say, and look at each other. Say, I want you to remember L, S, R. L, S, R. L, S, R. And I want you to remember this day by day, And if we say it enough times, maybe it'll stick. LSR. Hearing the voice of God has to deal with LSR. Number one, listen. Listen. Prepare your heart to hear. Listen. And seek Him. L is what?
Listen.
S. Soften. Number one is L. Listen. Number two, soften. Soften your heart. As a pastor, I want to tell you a very straightforward statement because I love you enough to help you and me grow in Jesus. A hard heart cannot hear God. What? Anybody, come on, don't look religious at me. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been there? You ever felt it when your heart's hard? Is anybody ever in this room besides me ever stubborn? Nobody would describe you as stubborn. Okay, soften. Soften. If you want to hear God, soften your heart. Church, I said if you want to hear God, soften your heart. I'd like to see a show of hands, and I hope I see everyone. But if I don't, that's between you and God. How many want to hear God? Soften your heart. If there's anything this morning in your heart that's hard, God says, soften. Soften. Hearing the voice of God. Listen. Soften. What does that mean? Get rid of sin. Get rid of wrong attitudes. If you've got a corrupt attitude or you've corrupted someone else or you're trying to, or you know what I'm saying, if you're in the process, stop it. Get rid of a hard heart. Forgive. Church, the Bible says if you forgive others, you will be... I'm sorry. That's one that's not fun, but one we need to repeat. I just couldn't hear you on that one. My hearing's kind of going. If we don't forgive others, we won't be. If we do forgive others, we will be. Thank you very much. I couldn't finish the sentence without your help there. Forgive. Move on. Soften. Number three, R. L is what?
Listen.
S is?
Listen.
R is respond. Respond. How do you hear from God? You listen. You soften your heart to receive whatever it is He wants to tell you. And then you're prepared to take the next step of obedience to Him. The next step. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who, what?
Diligently
seek Him. Are you there at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We've been reading verse 1. But look at that. Those who diligently seek Him. Now that word diligently is exetio. Exetio. And it means, listen, this is great. It means to search out. It means to investigate. It literally means to crave and demand. God, I crave You. I've got to have You. I need You. I need You right now in my life. I need You right now in my circumstances. And Lord, I'm not too proud to be too loud. Help! There was a news story just this last week of somebody who had broken through some ice and you even heard them play the clip of the person calling out for help. Let me tell you what you didn't hear. Anybody walking by? Would you call someone? Do you have a rope? Would you check the back end of your car, see if you got anything you could help? Was that what you heard? You know what you heard in the background? Hey, help me! Help! I'm going to drown out here! Come on, please, somebody help me! Help, 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 help! because their life was at stake. Church, sometimes before God, we need to act as if our spiritual life is really at stake. Oh God, speak to my heart. I need you and I need you now. I want to hear you and I need to hear you now. I crave your voice. I diligently seek you. This is crucial. Search out for him. I gotta have you, Lord. Say it with me. I gotta have you, Lord. Soften your heart. So, number one, listen. I gotta have you. I diligently seek you. Number two, soften. Hebrews 3, verse 15. Turn back to Hebrews 3. See that in your own Bible. Hebrews 3, verse 15. Soften. If you don't believe what I said to you as a pastor, look at it as a verse in Scripture. That's where it comes from. Hebrews 3, verse 15. What's the word say? I'm sorry, what was that word? Oh, next week I'll get my heart right. Tomorrow I'll take care of it. Next month maybe I'll get it right. The Bible says, please say it with me, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. Wow. How many understand the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft? Now, nobody in here would ever want to have be accused of being a witch, a warlock. We know those things are demonic. So, God, help us soften our hearts and not be rebellious in spirit. Am I preaching to Christians here this morning? Anybody ever been there? Okay, I don't see raised hands, but I see a few nodding. Yeah, I've been there. Okay, move on. All right. Church, whatever it is that makes your heart hard is not God. Whatever it is that makes your heart hard is not God. If it's not God, then who does that leave? The devil. The enemy tries to divide you from him or from others in Christ. Don't listen to it. Turn away from that. Repent and soften. God will talk to the soft heart. Number three, what's the R? When you know what God is saying, obey Him. Let's watch it happen. Hebrews chapter 11. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. Fantastic story here about Abraham. Verses 8 through 16. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. I'm sorry. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he, please say it with me, waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Pastor Sherry said she wants a church with foundations. That's the biblical desire. Foundations strong in the Lord. People walking in strength and not falling when the temptations and turmoils come. By faith, verse 11, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having, what? Seen them afar off. And they were assured of them. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they'd come out, verse 15 says, they would have had opportunity to return. But 16, now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. How many want God's city? How many want God to be ashamed? I don't. How many want God to be thrilled that you're His kid? Amen. Church, we look at the Scripture and we find that Abraham obeyed God when he didn't know where to go. He went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't know how. He didn't know where. He didn't know how. Didn't know exactly what was going to happen. He didn't know when. Wasn't sure it was all going to come to pass and when it did or when it would. And he didn't know why. But we see Abraham taking the next step. Didn't know where, how, when, or why. Father Abraham. My kids grew up in Christian school. And Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. One. And we. That's right, okay. So, you know, I thought of that song this morning. I was going, well, yeah, there's got to be a few in the room who know that song. So, Father Abraham, he's the father of our faith. Why? Why do we say that? All right, there were four periods. I just want to quickly give you some history on Abraham. There were four periods of his life, each marked by a direct and divine revelation from God. And God led him into something new on each of these four different times. The first period of his life was his call to go to Canaan. And that call included, in that time, he also ended up going to Egypt, and then he came back again to Canaan, and it occurred during this period. Now, Abraham, I want to be honest with you. Sometimes, those of us who are older, do you ever feel like, I'm too old to go through much more? You're all just kind of polite with me here this morning. Anybody ever feel like that? All right. Do you know when Abraham started this journey? He was 70. I can tell you, I'm standing here as a preacher, and here's what I saw your faces go. So you've got Abraham, who is leaving Ur of the Chaldeans, and they don't go straight through the desert. What they did is they followed the rivers up to Haran. And later, he comes to the land of Canaan. And so, he goes out with his father, Terah, and his nephew, Lot, and his wife, Sarah, and they go to live in Haran. And God says to him, depart from your country and your relatives, he said, and come into the land that I will show you. Now, he was leaving. At the time when he was contemporary, it was just beginning to mushroom as a city. Later on, this city of Ur of the Chaldeans became one of the most renowned city of commerce and wealth. And most likely, Abraham was probably a pretty well-off shepherd of livestock. And so he had a whole history here. He had a whole comfort zone. Anybody say with me the word comfort zone. How many like comfort zones? Yeah, that's why they're comfortable. That's why they call them that. It doesn't say uncomfortable zone. It says comfort zone. Okay, so he lives this great comfort zone. Why? He didn't know where. They didn't have Google or Google Earth on their computers then. They didn't even have computers then. Okay? He didn't have that. He didn't have geography maps. Go and follow God. Wow. So he does. And because he believes God, he follows him. And so this is in that first time. And then we get to Haran, and his father ends up dying. And the call to Abraham is renewed by God in Genesis 12, chapter 12, verse 1. And he separates from his father's house, and he leaves his native land. He departs, but, you know, Abraham's kind of like us, a little bit slow to fully respond, right? God says, I want you to leave your family. He says, okay, and takes Lot. And Lot is his nephew. Now, there is a reason why he probably took Lot. Lot was most likely considered his rightful heir, because if you recall, he's 70 or more now, and he has no children. And so his nephew is most likely his rightful heir. But he arrives in Canaan, and he comes down to the land of Canaan. And again, he's promised that his seed will inherit the land, and they will possess this land. And then he runs into a time of famine. And in order to feed his flocks, he goes to Egypt. You can't see that too well. He goes into Egypt. And then he makes his way across the upper part of the desert and goes in because he's got to feed his flocks. And so he's responding to God. He's gone somewhere he doesn't know. He's living in a land that he feels like a stranger and a foreigner. Do you remember reading those verses or those words in Hebrews chapter 11? He was a stranger and a pilgrim in this place because he was a sojourner in faith. Church, I want to ask you, do you belong to the world or are you a stranger and a pilgrim in this place? We don't belong to this world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. The world doesn't understand you when there's turmoil and you start talking about Jesus. The world doesn't understand when the stock market tanks 400 points and you sort of don't have peace, but more than that person does. We're people who are different because we respond to God. So he goes to Canaan, and he's promised again by God that his seed will inherit the land. And in Egypt, remember what happens? This man of faith and paste and flour, this man of faith and power, passes his sister off, or his wife off as his sister. Now it's only half the lie, it's only half truth, because same father, different wife. And so she is his half-sister. But Pharaoh takes her, and God rebukes Pharaoh, thank God. And so Pharaoh returns his wife to Abraham, and he also loads him with gifts. So by the time Abraham turns around and comes back to where he heard the call of God up here, he comes back home, he's an even more wealthy man. And so by that time, he's got so many herds and so much provision, he and Lot have to separate, if you recall. And he and Lot separate, and he gives Lot the choice of the land, and then what happens? They separate, but Lot is overrun, along with Sodom and Gomorrah, down here most likely its location. And Lot is overrun and carried off by a king up by to Damascus. And Abraham goes up and saves him and gets everything back. So Abraham returns to Canaan, he worships Jehovah, he separates from Lot, then he goes and saves him. So we enter into Abraham's second period. That's all first part. And the second part is the promises occur again to his soul, but he's a much more old man. He's aging and his faith wanes. And so during the second period of his life, he has an Ishmael. Who can say Ishmael? You remember Ishmael? Yeah, sure, hard to forget. You take a look at today's events and you still have Ishmael on the scene, the fruit of the flesh. Then we enter into his third period, and in the third period of Abraham's life, it's marked by a reestablishment of the covenant. Abram's name is changed to Abraham. He's an old man, and he hears God give him the sign of circumcision. It's quiet in here. Guys, if I were pushing 100, I got a revelation from God of such a thing. Would you follow me? That's a little too real for some. Some of you turned red. I'm not trying to embarrass you. Listen, this was a real call from God on this man's life. Now, what I want you to know is the Scripture says, even though that's a unique call, and it was unique to the children of Israel, there was a purpose for it. But though it may have been a difficult test, the Bible says Abraham that day circumcised all the males of his family and all his servants. That day. Listen. Soften. Respond. That day. Do you think he understood it all? He gets a visit from angels during this third period, and he's got God and two angels eat a meal, and God then tells them about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he also kind of upbraids his wife Sarah, because when he says, you're going to have a son by this time next year, Sarah starts to what? Giggle. She starts to laugh. Now, remember, now at this point, literally, Abraham is 99. And he's going to have a child. Sarah is how old? 90. So he gets the sign of the circumcision. He has angels that visit. And Sarah, now look, let's just have a real moment, okay? Let's do this in real perspective. Sarah is 99, or Sarah is 90. And another king takes her. Because she's so hot. Isn't that cool? Ladies, you're gorgeous. You're all beautiful. You are. You're all gorgeous ones. But she's so hot, another king says, hey, I don't care how old she is. That lady's how old? I want her. How many of you just hope you're here at that age? Much less, and so you can imagine, if you will, in today's situation, the king would call out to her and she'd go, what? Turn to her, what'd he say? He says he wants you! Okay, that's enough. We won't go any further. Listen, the restoring power of God. She must have been a beautiful woman. And I don't want to minimize that at all. And their faith was wonderful. But once again, he wavers. And she's his sister. And so, but God rebukes the Pharaoh again, or the king again. And he returns her to Pharaoh. Or he returns her to Abraham. And he rebukes him again. He gets rebuked again. What are you doing? You're almost getting me killed there. You know, and he gives him more gifts. And this man is taken care of by God. And he's faithful to God. And then at the age of 100 years old, and Sarah is 90, they have a baby. And so then we enter in to the fourth and final stage of Abraham's life. And that stage is when some say by texts that his son, who's really been precious to him, and you know he is, Isaac is born, and now he's possibly 25 years old. I've heard tell of him being a teenager possibly, but it's possible that Isaac is 25 years old, which makes Abraham 125. Do you think the 25-year-old might have been able to take the 125-year-old? You're going to do what to me? You're going to lay me down, tie me up, and stab me? Now, the point wasn't that God wanted Abraham to kill his son. The point was that God wanted Abraham's faith. Full obedience. And he does. And right before the knife comes down, you know the story, God stops him and there's a ram in the thicket. And the name of God that comes out of this experience is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord Himself hath provided. Sarah dies at 127 years of age in Hebron. And we have him purchasing the cave of Machpelah. And Sarah is buried there. And later, that is where Abraham is buried. And I believe Isaac is buried there. And you see this man wandering, walking, doing everything he can to obey the call of God in his life. Church, I don't know about you. I believe I do. But all I can tell you is our age is not an excuse, though we may want it to be. Our walk, no matter how difficult it gets, God says, follow me. I wish I could promise you always easy circumstances. I'm unable to do that. I may never have a big television ministry where I promise you, if you will give me all your money, you will have ease and comfort in your life. I may never make it there. But I do desire to tell you the truth. And that is that God wants from us a heart that says, okay, I'm listening. I'm softening. I will obey you, Lord, and I want to respond. I don't get it, God, but I want to respond. I don't know why you're doing it this way, but I want to do what you want me to do. Oh, God, just hold me then and take me through it. But what about the times where you don't feel Him holding you? Okay, Lord, I'll just keep walking. You know, you can turn in bitterness and run from God because He hasn't come through. And that is a choice we're each faced with because life gets tough. Or you can say, I don't know why. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know where. All I know is God. And He'll guide me through if I'll just keep walking. Now faith, not tomorrow, not the next day, not when it gets easier, but now. Abraham kept walking. Started at 70. And every one of those four transition periods in his life, I won't lie to you, every one of those four transition periods cost that man something dear to him in his comfort zone. The first one meant he gave up his country and his family. The second one meant he moved on from his nephew, who he thought was going to be his heir. The third one meant, and this was deep if you remember your scripture, he had to give up his plans for cherished Ishmael. Ishmael, Lord, why don't you take Ishmael? Remember? And then the fourth one was, can you imagine being 125 years old from the time you were 70, or call it even from the time you're 99. You got a promise burning in your spirit that I'm going to have a child. And it took years and decades to come to pass. And God says, okay. Now, Abraham, am I more important to you than that? Am I more important to you than recognition? Position? Doing it your way? Will you take the next steps with me? And in love for God, Abraham kept saying, yes. In love for God, Abraham kept saying,
yes.
In love for God, Abraham kept saying,
yes.
Turn to each other and say to each other, I am saying yes to God. LSR, now faith, requires now listening, now softening, now responding. One more time. LSR means now listening, now softening, now responding. One more time. LSR means now listening, now softening, now responding. Now listen to the rest of the story. Don't even turn to it. Let me just read it to you. James 2, verse 23. Now just listen, because that's how that man lived. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And the last phrase of that verse, and he was called the friend of God. Now faith. How many want to walk with God? Come on, church, how many want to walk with God? Now faith. How many want to hear His voice? Now faith. How many want to soften their heart? Now faith. How many want to obey God and respond? Now faith. Come on, church, when is our faith?
Now.
What kind of faith is it?
Now.
Now faith. Let's stand. Would you come? All we can tell you, Lord, as we stand before you as a simple people, is we care to trust and obey. We love you, Jesus. And we love you because you first loved us. This life, what an adventure. Do we understand it? No. Are we always sure of it? No. Do we always know where we're going? No. Do we always know how to get there? No. Do you always know why? No. But Lord, we commit ourselves this morning to listen, to soften, and to respond. And now faith to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning with a need in your heart and the Lord has spoken to you, understand that He's right here for you, that He loves you, that He's got a plan and a purpose for you. Your longest part of life is ahead of you because it includes eternity. Your best days are ahead, church. Turn to each other and say that. Your best days are ahead of you. Your best days are ahead of you. Amen.